Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It is the 14th of September. We are on episode 66, and we have got a yet another amazing topic. And the topic again today is derived from our beautiful Erica's book, Deborah, You Are Chosen to Arise. And I was captivated by page 98 when it talks about break up ground left uncultivated. And that reminds me of how important it is to be gracefully broken. Let me welcome our panel discussions today, team members Myrtle Yonker, Shanaz, Julius, and Erica. A warm welcome to you on this beautiful spring season. Hey, Erica. We're going to start with you because your book has captivated me once again. And that's what brought the topic out today, Gracefully Broken. And I want to talk about your book, page 98, the third paragraph. And we can build from that. Jeremiah 4:3-4, and this is what Erica writes in a book. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire, consuming all that gets in its way, and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Break up ground left uncultivated. Share with us what was going through your mind when you wrote this amazing piece.
Thank you so much, Angelina. And bless you all for listening, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's such a privilege. Yes, you know, when the Lord speaks of uncultivated ground, it's like a farmer. And fortunately, I have experience on that because we were farmers back in the days. That in winter, the farmer leaves the ground uncultivated because then it brings restoration and the weeds die before you cultivate the ground. So when God says that break up ground left uncultivated, now remember, weeds start growing. So when the time comes to cultivate the ground, then you start plowing it. So God says, do not sow your seed among thorns. Break off all your evil habits. Clear your hearts of weeds in order that they may be prepared for the seed of righteousness. It is so amazing how the Lord graciously speaks to us through his word, how to cultivate our ground, to break it up, and then allow all the evil to be dispersed, to be taken away by Holy Spirit. And that is what is so awesome to me, is the graciousness of our Lord. He doesn't come in harshly. He comes in with a warning if we allow our hearts to have weeds or if we allow evil habits. That's why he says, break up the ground left uncultivated. So we break it up by the works of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. Shanaz, what happens when we don't cultivate and sow?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to cultivate and till our soil, we allow, like weeds would grow, it becomes corruptible. It means that our flesh, our sin nature takes over and it will bring forth weeds which will destroy whichever word was already sown into our hearts. And that means we then start taking on the cares of the world, and our own selfish desires will choke that good seed that the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth fruit in our lives. And therefore, we as born-again Christians have to be conscious that we don't allow the sinful nature, the old habits, to come back and choke the seed that Abba Father is giving to us. We have to make sure that we guard our hearts from taking root on these weaker desires, these selfish desires, the desires to fulfill our own flesh And that means that Abba Father cannot then speak to us because we don't allow the Holy Spirit to toil our ground, as beautiful Erica said. That means there's a choking of that seed that is happening because our own fleshly nature wants to take over whatever Father wants to do in our lives. So we have to take heed and listen to the Holy Spirit, and we have to allow the Lord to till that soil. And sometimes it's a difficult process because then our hearts are revealed to us, and sometimes Abba Father allows certain situations to take place in our heart, in our lives, so that we can see our own state of our hearts, and that exposes our hearts to ourselves so that we know where Abba Father wants us to till that soil. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
And that's why we say graciously broken, because what you're saying is that it is in there, but we need to let go of it. And if we don't break ground to let go of all that nonsense, then we become bitter, ugly people, and we cannot let any of the word of God produce and multiply that hundredfold that God speaks about. And I love what Erica is saying, that God graciously helps us to let go of those things. Now, letting go is not easy. Myrtle, tell us, have you had any experience of being graciously broken? Is it easy? And is it worth it? Is the outcome worth it?
Angelina, when you're gracefully broken, then you know God has taken over and He put the Holy Spirit in your life to show you the right way to pluck out that weed so that you can become like new. The old thing is, old things is past, and the new things is coming in. When the old, all that weeds is going out of your life. In my personal life, God is there for me daily. God had to break me to make me who I am today. He also wants me to surround myself with godly people that can share the word with me, and I can share the word with them. As a child of God, I must watch what's coming out of my mouth. In Matthew 15, verse 17, the New NIV translation, but the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. So be careful what you say or speak. There is power in your tongue. Your tongue can speak life or death. So I had to learn carefully what to speak and what to say. I also had to learn to forgive, because this is part of that weeds that it takes out of you, if you can forgive. I also had to learn to forgive. It is very important to forgive others. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, ask, be kind to others, one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I have to set my mind daily on the Word of God and focus on the Word. Whatever I do, I depend on the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me. If I don't ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me, I can't live in the flesh if I say I'm a child of God. I have to die to self. This is what the Bible says about peace in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And this is exactly when God transforms you, He gives you peace. Peace, and then in John 14:27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. After all these scriptures, if I still doubt that the Holy Spirit and God is not there, then there is definitely no hope for me. I want to be so full of the Holy Spirit that if I walk into a room It must light up, and you must be able to see God in me. Ask God daily to help me to get wisdom in the Word. I love because God first loved me. Thank you, Angelina.
Gospel for Grampian listeners. That is what it means to be graciously broken, where you get to a point and speak like Myrtle, where her life is irrelevant if God is not in it. I mean, I'm listening to you, and everything you're doing and saying is, it's everything about God and not and nothing about you. Erica, your thoughts on that? That is what it is, right? Graciously broken is, I no longer live. In Christ I live, in Christ I move, and in Christ I have my being.
Amen, Angelina. While I was listening to Myrtle, one sentence to describe everything that she said of break up your fallow ground is, it is time to seek the Lord. And when seeking the Lord, everything he brings to the forefront. And while you're seeking the Lord, he is working in you. He is molding you. He is actually breaking up the fallow ground. While you are then, he is revealing to you, and you come before him in repentance. You come and bow before him, acknowledging him as God. It is as if your total being is immersed in Holy Spirit. It is not you or me living any longer, but we are crucified with Christ. And we come to that realization that we say, break up ground left uncultivated. It is as if truly the tilling and the plowing is being done in me to become Christ-like. It is as if everything is being taken out of me. Yes, it's not easy, and it's not, it's quite difficult. Because the flesh has to surrender, has to submit. And the more we are willing to surrender, the more we are willing to hand over everything to God, the more peace then comes and settles inside of me. And I allow the Holy Spirit to completely possess me, take complete control over me. As we know, our spirit is completely renewed. It is our soul that needs renewal and redemption day by day. And as Myrtle also said, that she needs to be in the Word of God, needs to sit by his feet. So it is so true, because that is the only way that we can die to our own self and become more Christ-like, to stand up every single day. Because we are contending with the world and the things of the world. And we need to know that as Jesus walked this earth, we are able to walk this earth. We are able to be at peace in the midst of whichever storm, of things that come against us, even rejection and abandonment, because we know we are in Christ and we are more than a conqueror. Because Christ already brought that victory for us into our lives. Thank you, precious Angelina.
Thank you, Erica. Shanaz, a question for you on this whole graciously broken. I read a book of one gentleman that opened an absolutely amazing university in London, and it was a university that the Lord led him to open. And he'd actually left the UK to go across to America to create wealth for his family. But because he was a Christian, when he went to America, he opened a cell group, and then he slowly got weaned into, I want to do things for God, and I don't want to work in secular anymore. So God made him resign, and God taught him to have the faith walk with God. And he was like, Lord, why are you taking your time to help me finance what you want me to do? And the Lord said to him, as long as the world is in you, I cannot use you. And one of the things the Lord said to him is, when you worry what people think, that means the world is in you. And I love what Erica said, dying to self is the most critical part about being gracefully broken in order for God to work fully in us. We know we surrender to God when what God says matters and we respond to the obedience of what he says versus what people think. A simple thing like God told this gentleman, I don't want you to wear a hat when you go out. And in his culture, wearing a hat meant respect. So going out of the house without the hat and growing a beard was disrespectful. And he said, but I cannot grow the beard and I cannot not wear the hat. My mom and my families and everybody out there are going to freak out. Then God said to him, if you're worrying what people are saying, then you are not fit to be used by me because you have to die to self. And that means being not worried what people say. How much of our walk as Christians matters in terms of what people say versus what God is telling us, Shanaz?
Wow, Angelina, I think that's such a vital question. And sometimes we get so confused because we think that if we don't consider man, that we're showing disrespect. But the Word of God teaches us that we should do everything as though we're doing it unto Abba Father. We need to honor God. And through all our actions, we need to do just that, that we first think about God. And I think growing in a world of sin, our minds needs to be adjusted according to God's Word. And this is exactly as beautiful Myrtle and beautiful Erica said, it starts with the renewing of the mind, because the world has programmed us or brainwashed us into a way where we think this is the order, but we have to adapt God's order. I like Isaiah 64 verse 8, it says, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. And we don't seem to realize that Abba Father is our maker. He's the one who created us. And that we should go back into the blueprint of how God has actually created us and ordered us and fashioned us. Because we know that he is the one who holds the blueprint. So that means when we are not within Abba Father, we will do things as the world. But when we are born again and we come into Abba Father, we need to allow him to shape us like the potter does. He shapes the clay. That means there is a pressing. There is a reshape. And that reshape is reshaping our minds. And so we have to apply God's principles, his kingdom principles of honoring and fearing God first, and then love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And the first commandment is that we should love the Lord with all our mind, with all our heart. And therefore we cannot do things as the world does, where we fear man above God. We have to put the order first, correct. And that means we have to come into that place of understanding God's order, his principles, and follow his order. So it's God first, then my neighbors, and then the rest of the community. So we cannot be mindful of man much more than God. That means we have the order incorrect this evening. And therefore we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come and shape us. For our Father is the potter and we are the clay. We should be pliable. We should be teachable. We should allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. If we have pride, then it means we're not teachable. The Lord wants us to have a teachable spirit, Angelina. And that means we have to let go of what we thought is the correct way and taking on godly principles according to God's word. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
I love what you're saying. Now, when we look at Erica's book again, page 98, at the beginning, she talks about what Paul is stating to the Corinthian people. And he says in 1 Corinthians 2:4, And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power. Now, the question I have is, without Abraham being graciously broken, would he have been obedient to take his son to the altar? Without Mary being graciously broken, will she obediently expose herself to shame and disgrace? When the angel said, you're going to conceive, she didn't fight him. She obediently said, whatever you say, let it be done. If she wasn't graciously broken, would she have submitted to what the angel told her? Is being graciously broken necessary for us to fulfill the will of God in our lives? Myrtle, if we look a year ago, you were not graciously broken and you were not as hungry and living all for God the way you are now. So then can we agree that graciously broken takes us to that place of obedience so that we can be used by the Maker? Can we agree on that?
Oh, yes, Angelina. Since 8 months ago, I wasn't as obedient as what I am at the moment. God had to break me to make me what I am today. He had to push me into the Word, and He had to reveal the Holy Spirit to me, put me in my house, just me, myself, and God. Me, God, and the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here today. God stripped me from everything to make me an obedient child of God.
The cultivating is necessary. Anybody wants to add to that, that without being graciously broken, it is difficult to obey? Adding on to what Myrtle is saying. Erica, Shanaz?
Thank you, Angelina. Yes, I truly believe that is the truth. Because when you are not cultivated, the flesh is so much alive. And I believe that a religious spirit, if I take my own life, can be so dominant that you think you're doing right because you read the Bible, but it's not with the heart, it's with the mind. And then what happens is you justify yourself, but you point a finger to others. But when you are graciously broken and you allow Holy Spirit to break up that uncultivated ground, it truly is like an upside down shaking out everything that is not of God. And it brings you to that point where you truly seek Him continuously. You don't want to leave His side. As Mary, she came and she just wanted to sit at His feet. It's like Abraham. He was a moon worshiper. But when God spoke to him, it was as if God took that ground of His and cultivated it in one instance when He said, look to the stars and recount what you read in the stars, and He saw Jesus. That is what so gracious is about our Father God, is that with every person He works in a unique way. And it captivates the person's whole being unto Jesus. Therefore, I truly believe that it is truly necessary to cultivate the fallow ground and to allow God, the Trinity, to truly work in me to become what He wants me to become, Christ-like. Thank you, precious Angelina.
I love what I'm hearing. The total obedience becomes, it's all about what you tell me to do because I love you, Lord, and I don't really care what other people say. I want to please you first, like Shanaz was saying. And if people think I'm guilty because I'm pleasing you, let it be. And I'm going to give an example of when I say guilty. A couple months ago, before I was graciously broken, or before I could go through the process, and I'm still going through the process, I had a disagreement with my brother, and I love my brother, and I had a disagreement with him and his family. And even if I wanted to go and tell him sorry, my mind was, if I tell you I'm sorry, you're going to think I'm wrong, and I'm not wrong on this. I'm not going to tell you sorry, and I'm not going to show mercy because you're wrong. And in this graciously broken period, the Lord said to me, call your brother. I ran, I called him. Hello, my brother, I love you, I miss you. If I offended you, I'm sorry. I just want you to know that I love you so much, and Jesus loves you, and you are so important to the world, so important to God. It was irrelevant this day how or what he would think. I've been silent with him for many months. And when God put in my heart to call him, I didn't think like how I thought a couple months ago. What is he going to think? Is he going to think I'm guilty? Does he think I want something from him? I didn't care. For me, it was like, Lord, if you're telling me to call him because he needs to hear my voice, then he needs to hear that I love him. Now, that for me is so important about being graciously broken, because when I look at my own heart and evaluate where I was a couple months ago when I had to engage him to now, it was like, it doesn't matter what you think. It matters that I love you. Talk to us, Shanaz. How often people go through that, what people think versus whether they think bad or not, I want to do it God's way.
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think to be gracefully broken, one really has to allow the Holy Spirit to consume us, because many a times we do consider what others are thinking about us and whether or not they're going to reject us. And sometimes when we do experience rejection, we tend not to demonstrate the love of Christ because we are concerned with our own inner turmoil. And we question, but why, Lord? I don't deserve this. But we are reminded that even Jesus Christ was also rejected. And so we have to yield to the Spirit of the Lord. We have to surely make sure that we please Abba Father. I think I'm still going through that period of being gracefully broken as well. There's people that's rejecting me and I can't understand why. So a couple of weeks ago, I've been questioning it with Abba Father. And I've been asking, Lord, what did I do to offend this person? And all Abba Father was saying to me was that I need not put my eyes, my attention on their behavior, but I need to continuously just show love. Coming back to your topic of love, Angelina, it's so important that we demonstrate the love of Jesus, just like you demonstrated your love to your brother. That this is all that the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me about, is just show the love of Christ, irrespective of what the person's doing, whether they're pushing you away, rejecting you. I need to show love all the time, because many a time the enemy wants us to think that people are rejecting us, but actually the Lord just wants us to be obedient and for us to heed to his voice. And the more I'm showing love, the more I'm being rejected. And it's like, Lord, what are you busy doing? But this is where we learn to yield to the Spirit of God, irrespective of how we feel, what we perceive with our natural eyes, that we show the love of Christ, that I make an effort to those particular individuals that the Lord wants me to be a testimony to minister his love to, that I constantly do it, and I even intentionally do it. I have to do it so that I know that Abba Father's pleased with me. And I shouldn't do it from a place of I want to condemn or judge the next person, but I should do it in a way that it brings honor and glory to Abba Father, because Abba Father's watching me. He knows my heart, he knows my thoughts, And so I need to show love, and it should be the love of Christ, not as man loves, with conditions. It should be unconditionally. And it's a challenge. It's not always easier. There's times when I don't feel like doing it. And then I know I'm operating in my flesh, and I have to repent, and I ask the Lord to give me the ability to do it. And that's the beautiful part. When you're in relationship with the Lord, His Holy Spirit, like Myrtle says, He helps you. Because when I can't love any longer, and I say, Lord, You need to show me today, I really don't feel like loving this person. But Holy Spirit, You help me. Please show me how to love today. Give me the ability to love, the patience to love. And the Holy Spirit will just give you that ability to love. Because it's important, this world needs to know the love of God. There is so much hate and anger and vanity in the world currently. And pride, everybody's just about me, myself, and I. And Abba Father wants us to demonstrate His love, Angelina. Thank you.
I love what you're saying, Shanaz. I think as women, we were built to be loved and accepted. And most women go through this big challenge of dealing with rejection. And I mean, I think about how the Holy Spirit's working with my own heart. Yesterday, I was really, really broken by someone who, you know, that's part of our love family. Broken, broken, broken. It hurt me. It broke me. I'm like, Lord, can I get broken anymore? I don't have anything else to get broken. Everything's broken. I don't know how to do this anymore. And I wake up this morning, and the Holy Spirit, as I'm busy with the water, it's as if Holy Spirit sprinkled it on me to wake me up, to get my attention. And He said, go serve. And in the most broken, broken place, I go serve. And I felt better. The person's light lit up. I lit somebody in my most broken state. And you know, when your loved ones hurt you, and for you to light them up, you have to be dead to self to do that, because the first thing you do is, when you're broken, is for them to come back and make the peace in order for you to serve. But here the Holy Spirit this morning sprinkles me. I mean, I'm busy with the water, and suddenly the water is like, you know, flickered back onto me, and it's as if the Holy Spirit is saying, serve. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna serve. And I realized that God's teaching me to die to self every day. And I learned that the way He teaches me to die to self, Gospel for Grampian listeners, is through my own family members persecuting me. I know that God knows my makeup, that if people I don't know hurt me, if people I don't know persecute me, it won't hurt me. So obviously He's going to use people that are important in our church families, important in our own families, and important in our spheres of influence. And if we, like Erica says, become aware and of the Holy Spirit and of the Father, and we get close to God, then we must allow Him to allow what's around us to cultivate us. Because when we get to the point where it doesn't matter whether they accept me, I accept them. It doesn't matter whether they love me, I love them. And I believe that's what Jesus did on the cross, hey, Shanaz and Erica. He was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is easier said than done. But because Jesus was as a place of brokenness, He could say that because He died to self and He came alive to the will of the Father. And until we are graciously broken, we can never make it about others. Jesus made it about the world on the cross. It was never about Him. We are not worthy to be used by God if it is about us. So for me, being graciously broken is imperative if I say, Lord, let Your will be done and not mine. What are your thoughts on that, ladies?
Absolutely, Angelina. I think Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So when you're demonstrating that you are the peacemaker, we will be acknowledged as the children of God. So it's easy for us to love those and forgive those who are far away from us. But it's much more difficult, as you said, Angelina, when it's our family, and they reject us and hurt us. we have to be just like Jesus and ask the Lord to forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. And we have to be that example, which means we become the loving word of God, testifying about the love of Jesus when we are able to demonstrate the love that Christ shed abroad on the cross. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you. Erica, what are some of the challenges that we go through that hinder us from going through the process of graciously broken? Because you get some, well, God wants all of us to be broken so that he can fully work through us, right? We can be a vessel that he can work through. But what hinders us from not going through the process?
Thank you, Angelina. I believe that many times there is pain in us that is so deep-rooted that if I think about that, then I don't want to think about it. I don't want to bring it up. And that is why it will limit me to allow God to break the fallow ground in me, because I am not yet there to confront that, because the pain is so deep. And that is a lie from the enemy, because if we allow the Holy Spirit to work everything in and through us, that pain that is hidden so deep, it will actually bring such freedom. And I want to say this to the Gospel for Grampian listeners, in ministering to you, it's like a surgeon with his scalpel. And when you are aware, all of a sudden it seems it's gone, I'm free. Allow Holy Spirit to minister to you what the blood of Jesus Christ can really do for you. Thank you, Angelina.
And then you have these types of people that Paul talks about, the ones that speak in the eloquent words, but there's no spirit on it. So there's no conviction, there's no revelation. It's just a nice talk or a conference chat, but the Spirit of the Lord is not in the conversation because of the fact that they've not allowed themselves to be graciously broken. So being graciously broken is important if we want to allow the Spirit of God, to allow the Zoe life of God to come forth through our lives. And all of those areas that are not cultivated are going to actually allow us to be walking in the carnal, like our beautiful Shanaz and Erica and Myrtle has said. So being graciously broken, we have to allow the process to happen. We have to take that step, and we have to be brave to confront those areas that are not easy but necessary. I know one of the challenges that many people have is confrontation. Shanaz, a question for you. I mean, I know that if I don't confront a matter, it grows like a poison in my heart, and I can explode. And so I know that if I have a area in my life that is not addressed, I'm in trouble. So I have to confront. And I always believe, I use that scripture where it says, if somebody offends you, go and address it. And I realize that in addressing it, I'm set free. Do you find, Shanaz, people have challenges confrontational, and does it become a bottleneck in terms of releasing them from being getting rid of all those thorns and stones, those stony hearts, etc., that rob people of being used by the Maker?
Definitely, Angelina, I think that's part of the thorns and the weeds that we speak about. So if we don't allow Abba Father to first deal with our hearts, to be ready to forgive, and then to prepare the individuals you need to speak to, because remember, we can't do it in our own flesh as well, because we also have to pray for the other person concerned as well, because we shouldn't confront without prayer. If we confront without prayer, meaning that we didn't seek our Father's consensus to prepare the other individual's heart, we can further cause damage in the other individual as well. So I think we have a huge responsibility to firstly bring ourselves before the Lord, and then also the party concerned, so that when you are ready to forgive, irrespective of what they've done to you, that the party that one has to address, that Abba Father also prepares their heart, so that when we speak to each other, like the Word of God says, we have to edify one another. We shouldn't be there to break each other down. And although, let's say, somebody's hurt me, and they've genuinely been in the wrong, because I think many a times we all think like that, that the other party is at fault, and we should take it to Abba Father in prayer. I believe that in that way, Abba Father prepares not only my heart, but the person I need to speak to. Because I definitely don't want to bring harm to the party that I need to address as well. But then when we deal with the roots, we've done so spiritually first. So we haven't done it in our own flesh. We first seek Abba Father's permission to deal with those heart matters, because it's all heart matters. It's not just a head thing. So in other words, we're not just dealing with somebody's head knowledge, but we're dealing with the person's emotional being. And therefore, we have to consult Abba Father. And not all the strategies will work all the time. I believe we need to yield to the Spirit of God, because He will direct us as well. So it could be different in each situation, and therefore we need the Holy Spirit to guide us, so that we can do according to the Lord's will and His way. Because sometimes people are at different places and they won't be ready. So we have to be sensitive. We might be more mature, but the individual, the other individual that we want to address our offense with, we need to then also be conscious of where that person is at. And this is where we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit, so that He can lead and guide us. And we do it in His time. We know that the Word of God also says that there's a time and a place for everything. And so we need to seek the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us as well. I think that's my take on it, Angelina. Thank you so much. Maybe there's different perspectives as well.
But I love what you're saying, Shanaz. It brings us back to the conversation we had last week, where we said that Erica's words were so profound, that God has given us words as our weapon. And using the words in a wrong manner can create war when it's supposed to create peace. We are supposed to create war, and war is for the kingdom of Satan and peace for the kingdom of God. But like you're saying, if we don't prayerfully use the words, then we will be creating war in the kingdom of peace and vice versa. So praying is imperative, and dealing with self is most important before we go and address the other issue, right?
Absolutely.
And what I also like, ladies, is what I picked up is when we are going through the challenges of heart matters, and it grows and it grows and it grows, it actually gets exaggerated grown. And by the time you actually have to land it to the other person, they didn't even know it was there. But Satan had a ball of a time creating a huge dough out of a little yeast, because we didn't go and prayerfully deal with it or address it at the time when we needed to. Like you're saying, there's a time and a season for it. And if we're sensitive with the Spirit of the Lord and He tells us when to do it, then we ought to do it. Because if we don't do it at the time that He wants us to do it, then we could mull over it and it becomes a really, really bad dough that, or a spoiled dough, that we become stinkers. We become stinking, thinking people, and we cannot be used by the Lord. So I really believe that being graciously broken is so important. And it is very painful, because it is all about us and our state of our heart and how God can use us. I personally believe, Erica and Shanaz, that graciously broken has got nothing to do with anybody else but me and God. What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, that is very true, Angelina. It is truly about me being graciously broken, because we are all unique in the eyes of the Father. And it's like a puzzle. Each one is a puzzle piece. So he removes each one where it's necessary and places us back into positioning where we need to be. Thank you, Angelina.
So graciously broken is about me being used by the Maker for let your will be done, God, and not mine. And that means I have to die to everything of the flesh and totally submit to the Lord. Talk to us, Shana, some last words on how important this journey of graciously broken is about you and God and not anybody else. Because what we pick up is that when people are going through the process, like you said, they make it about everybody else instead of them seeing, hey, God said, work with me here. It's not about them changing. It's about me changing.
Absolutely, Angelina. And I was really just laughing because the way you spoke about this big ball of whatever we're going through, and then it just becomes thinking. It's all about me. It's not about the other person. And I was laughing at myself because when I reflect on my journey and the periods where I took offense and I felt rejected, that it was just about my stinking thinking, and the Lord just needed to deal with me and he had to sort me out. It had nothing to do with the other person. And God was literally taking those weeds out of my mindset, out of my heart, those thorns that wanted to come and kill and destroy the word of God and the image that God is busy molding me into. And so I just really had a good laugh, Angelina, because when we step away and we actually reflect on our own stinking thinking, we can really laugh at ourselves, because it's just a big ball of nothing that we're creating. And by the time, like you said, when we go speak to the other person, they weren't even aware that it was there. It's all in our minds that we perhaps also fabricating this, because the enemy wants to keep us deterred from pursuing God's will. He wants us to be busy with the nonsense of the flesh. And yet there's so much work that we have to do in God's vineyard. So I want to encourage the listeners. Sometimes it's good just to listen to somebody else the way Angelina spoke about it, so we can give a good laugh of ourselves, because our stinking thinking is just getting us nowhere. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Let him do the work. Let him take you through the process. And sometimes we just need to laugh at ourselves, because it's really something so tiny, so minute, but we make it such a massive thing because the enemy wants to keep us preoccupied with the things of this world, with ourselves, and not pursuing God. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
I want to build on that as we get to start closing down. You know, we have to be graciously broken, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I mean, I'm thinking about my journey this year. On 1st of January, I met a girl called Carol, and she's one of Myrtle's friends. And on 1st January, she says to me, "Why are you worried what they think?" She says, "You need to die to self. You need to be dead to yourself. When you're dead to yourself, then God can work with you." And I was like thinking, how do you do that, Lord? How do you die to yourself where what people think and say about you when you're innocent doesn't matter to you? And little did I know that throughout this entire few months, that as I was going through my own winter season, I got to a point, Shanaz and Erica, where I said to the Lord, I don't care what they think anymore. I've got just too many things on my plate. Too much is happening. I don't have time to worry about what they think of me or what I think of them. It's irrelevant, Lord. I don't care. I've got too much important things to worry about than that. I now understand, Shanaz and Erica, what it means and how to get there, because God put me in a winter season with so many other issues of my own self that I needed to deal with, that I finally got to the point where I don't really care. I really don't care what you think. I really am not interested, because what you think is not going to change the motive of my heart. My motive is clear. And I've gotten to the point where I've had to say, Lord, I'm going to look at the motive of my heart on every matter. And if the motive of my heart is pure in your sight, then I'm not going to get offended if they see it in a different light, because there's a green grass and there's a blue grass. And if somebody insists that's blue and I know it's green and it's not going to change me, why am I going to put pressure on that and get offended and fight somebody on a blue grass when the grass is not blue? If they are convinced that is their perspective, let it be. I had to get to that point, Gospel for Grampian listeners, where God had to break me in so many areas, as in cultivating my heart, to a point where I realized there's too much happening within me to focus on what other people think about me. The Bible says the prudency, the danger ahead, and act now. I think, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we have to, like Erica and Shana say, we have to be one with God. We have to be one with God so that we can get to the point where Jesus was on the cross and he said, I forgive them, for they know not what they did. I mean, throughout his entire journey on the earth, he had people persecuted him, and he had people that loved him, and he had people that wanted things out of him. He said he knew their hearts, therefore he didn't take heed what they said. We need to get to the point where we are dead to self, that when we look at people's hearts, we don't take it personally. Because the anointing, am I correct in saying this, Erica? When we are walking the walk in Christianity, we are either hated or we are either loved. And if we don't die to self, then the haters are going to affect us and it's going to slow down our destiny, right?
Absolutely true, Angelina. Absolutely true. There's no doubt about that. So that is why we need to be one with Christ. We need to really die to ourselves, that it will not affect us, that we will not come to the point of compromise or even contamination. So that is so absolutely true, that we have to become one with God and die to self. And that is how we die to self, is becoming one with God. And also not in our own effort, allowing Holy Spirit to work that in us. Thank you, Angelina.
So I'm going to ask you to end by reading that chapter again on your book, page 98, about the cultivation. As we close, I want you to read that chapter, that paragraph, and I want you to pray for all our listeners about allowing the Creator to cultivate us so that we can be used by the Maker. Because many people are saying, God, use me. But they don't allow God to take them through the process. They let one offense to kick them out of their race. Please pray and encourage them.
Thank you so much, Angelina. Precious Gospel for Grampian listeners and air crew. I'm reading out of Jeremiah 4, verse 3 and 4 again. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem. And I can say this. For thus says the Lord to Gospel for Grampian listeners, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season, so that you may not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my wrath go forth like fire, consuming all that gets in the way, and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And I just want to mention this and add to this word the second paragraph in Isaiah 50 verse 4. And I want to say this because this is so imperative for us, because the word of God says in Joshua 1, it says that we should meditate on his word. Now the word in Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. What I mean here is that every day, to be able to cultivate the fallow ground and to be able to be to die to yourself, I ask the Lord, Lord, give me the tongue of a disciple and of one who is taught. Give me the tongue of a learned, because that makes me obedient and to become humble and to know that when rejection comes or when a challenge comes against me, then I know how to speak a word that will actually, because the other person or the other situation is maybe in a desperate situation, is maybe a weary person. And if I speak a word like the learned, then it will encourage. It might break that person's fallow ground because it's the word of the Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that your word is the final word, that your word is truth, and nothing else can come above your word. I thank you, Lord, that we could release your word tonight into the listeners' hearing, into our own hearing, Lord, so that we can come closer to you, so that we can be bold enough to take the first step, so that we can truly allow Holy Spirit to take complete possession of our soul. For we need you so desperately. We cannot live without you. We cannot breathe even without you, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that your love for your listeners is so unconditional. It does not matter where they are at the moment, Lord. You are calling them. You are awakening their spirit to know that you love them and that you want them to be totally set free, to be dead to self so that they can experience your freedom. It is higher than what the world can give. Amen. It is so safe that each and everyone can walk with confidence, not being affected what is coming against them, words or attitudes or things that they might see. Lord, show your listeners today your love. I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gospel for Grampian listeners. Jesus taught us how it is to be graciously broken when he went on that cross, broken for us, and still said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, Father, it is finished. It is finished. Let us be graciously broken so that we, Gospel for Grampian listeners, can say, Father, we've run our race. It is finished. We love you from Shanaz, Erica, and I. Happy, happy 14th September. Ta-ta.